disgusting habits. I swear, Maurice Boudreau.
She slings her rifle across blue overalls too big for her skinny self and puts hands to her hips to give me the full Sadie treatment, looking like some irate yellow gal sharecropper.
The way you always worrying, is it 25 or 85? Sometimes I forget. Ain't nobody seeing us way up here but birds.
She gestures out at buildings rising higher than the telegraph lines of downtown Macon. We up on one of the old cotton warehouses off Poplar Street. Way back, this whole area housed cotton coming in from countryside plantations to send down the Okmulgee by steamboat. That fluffy white soaked in slave sweat and blood, what made this city? Nowadays, Macon warehouses still hold cotton, but for local factory mills and railroads. Watching these clans shamble down the street, I'm reminded of bales of white, still soaked in colored folks' sweat and blood, moving for the river.
Not too sure about that, Chef puts in.
She sits with her back against the rooftop wall, dark lips curled around the butt of a Chesterfield in a familiar, easy smirk.
Back in the war, we always watch for snipers. Keep one eye on the mud, one in front, and both up top, Sergeant used to say. Somebody yell, sniper, and we scampered quick.
Beneath a narrow mustard brown army cap, her eyes tighten and a smirk wavers. She pulls out the cigarette, exhaling a white stream.
Hated fucking snipers.
This ain't no war,
Sadie retorts. We both look at her funny.
I mean, it ain't that kind of war. Nobody down there watching for snipers. Besides, only time you see Winnie is before she put one right between the eyes.
She taps her forehead and smiles crookedly, a wad of tobacco bulging one cheek. Sadie's no sniper, but she ain't lying. Girl can shoot the wings off a fly. Never one day in Uncle Sam's army neither. Just hunting with her grandpappy in Alabama. Winnie is her Winchester 1895 with a walnut stock, an engraved slate gray receiver, and a 24-inch barrel. I'm not big on guns, but got to admit, that's one damn pretty killer.
All this waiting making me fidgety,
she huffs, pulling at the red and black checkered shirt under her overalls.
And I can't pass time reading fairy tales like Maurice.
Folk tales. I hold up my book.
Say so right on the cover. Whichever. Stories about Bruh Fox and Bruh Bear sound like fairy tales to me.
Better than those trashy tabloids you like, I retort.
Been told, y'all, there's truth in there. Just you watch.
Anyway,
when are we gonna kill something? This taking too long.
Can't argue there. Been 3/4 of an hour now we out here, and this Macon sun ain't playing at midday. My nice plaited and pinned up hair gone damp beneath my tan newsboy cap. Perspiration sticking my striped white shirt to my back. And these gray wool knickers ain't much better. Prefer a summer dress loose on my hips I can breathe in. Don't know how men stay all confined like this. Chef stands, dusting off and taking a last savoring drag on the Chesterfield before stamping it beneath a faded Pershing boot. I'm always impressed by her height. Taller than me, certainly, and some men for that matter. She leaned, too, all dark long legs and arms fitted into a tan combat tunic and breeches. Imagine the Kaiser's men must have choked on their sauerkraut seeing her and the black rattlers charging in the Meuse-Argonne. In the trenches, only thing living besides us was lice and rats. Lice was damn useless. Rats, you could eat. Just had to know the proper bait and trap. Sadie gags like she swallowed her tobacco.
Cordelia Lawrence! Of all the nasty stories you done told about that nasty...